Welcome to the Mass Device Fast 5 MedTech News Podcast, the show that keeps you up to date on the latest breakthroughs in medical technology with the top 5 news stories to get your day started. I'm your host, Danielle Kirsch, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Sean Hooley. What do we have in the news today, Sean?
Today we'll discuss a fundraising round for a depression treatment, an FDA breakthrough nod for an interesting type of nerve stimulation technology, the launch of a new heart valve replacement system at Abbott, a new charitable foundation established by GE Healthcare, and a guilty verdict in the long-running StimWave healthcare fraud case.
What's the first news story that we should know?
Suma raised $5.5 million for its depression-treating neuromodulation technology. It's a Finland-based company that looks to continue progressing its at-home depression treatment.
So what does this company's technology do?
So it's a flexible and accessible treatment called transcranial direct current stimulation, or TDCS, using a portable neuromodulation device that looks basically like a skull cap. The TDCS delivers a mild electrical current to stimulate the brain and alleviate depression symptoms without the need for pharmaceuticals. So the treatment targets the brain and relieves symptoms without causing systemic side effects that are associated with antidepressants. It's a prescription-only therapy that can provide standalone treatment or work in tandem with other treatment types, and most importantly, can be done from the comfort of your own home.
What are the plans for this funding?
With the funding, the company plans to accelerate its product development and expand into new and existing markets. It received FDA breakthrough device designation, so it hopes to bring the therapy to the U.S. as well.
What are executives saying?
Thomas Nuvinen, the co-founder and CEO, said the company's treatment is designed to be easily accessible from the comfort of your own home, and the company's dedicated to reaching especially those underserved by medication or those with limited access to psychotherapy, ensuring that everyone suffering from depression has the access to best possible care. He also said that FDA approval would not just open up the therapy for patients in the U.S., but serve as a stamp of approval for regulators around the globe.
And now we have some more nerve stimulation news.
That's right. Setpoint Medical won FDA breakthrough device designation for its nerve stimulation tech that treats multiple sclerosis. We obviously do a lot of pain treating and incontinence treating modulation technology, or depression treating. In this case, it's a neuroimmune modulation, which is interesting.
Tell us a little bit about this nerve stimulation technology.
Yeah, so it was designed in this case for people with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, or RRMS. It uses precise vagus nerve stimulation to activate anti-inflammatory and immune restorative pathways to treat those inflammation-mediated autoimmune conditions. It's got a miniaturized stimulation device placed on the vagus nerve through a small incision on the left side of the neck in an outpatient procedure, and it automatically delivers therapy on a preset schedule.
Hasn't the company received a breakthrough nod before?
Yeah, so this isn't the first breakthrough nod. It actually picked up its first breakthrough device designation for the same system in 2020, but for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis, or RA. It continues to evaluate the investigational platform in a pivotal clinical trial for the treatment of RA, so it's certainly not abandoned that either. It's just expanding to multiple sclerosis.
How optimistic are executives about the future of this technology?
Well, the company's CEO said that the significant milestone highlights the platform potential of Setpoint's device and therapeutic approach for the treatment of multiple chronic conditions. And he said that the company looks forward to working collaboratively with the FDA to initiate a first-of-its-kind clinical trial to investigate the device for people living with RRMS.
And now we have some news from Abbott.
Yeah, Abbott is launching its latest Navitor TAVI system, or TAVI, transcatheter aortic valve implant system in the U.S. This technology appears to build upon the company's existing Navitor platform based on a company VP's LinkedIn post.
What is this technology?
Well, it's the latest version of that Navitor TAVI system called the Navitor Vision. Features include stable and precise delivery, excellent hemodynamics, and low paravalvular leak rates. Abbott built the system upon a proven durable platform with a future-ready design as well, according to Chris Waddell, who's the VP for US TAVI. He made a post on LinkedIn sort of announcing this launch.
Can you tell us a little about Abbott's TAVR market history?
Yeah, so the company originally entered the U.S. TAVR and TAVI market with FDA approval for its Portico with FlexNav system. That was back in 2021. Now, in January of last year, the company actually won FDA approval for the original Navitor system. So that's been marketable for the last year and a couple months, and now it's already got a new version.
How excited are executives?
Well, in that post on LinkedIn, Waddell said he's excited to share that Abbott is launching the latest generation of Navitor in the U.S. in the form of Navitor Vision. And he specifically said Abbott is going big in TAVI, so they're clearly excited about that.
What's the next bit of news that we have?
GE Healthcare established a foundation to advance access to care. It's a charitable foundation held separately from the company that will first focus on increasing access to maternal healthcare.
What will the foundation be for exactly?
Yeah, so the company established it to support nonprofit organizations who are hoping to make healthcare more accessible, personal, human, and flexible. Ultimately, it wants to remove barriers blocking underserved communities from care. And as I mentioned, that initial focus will center on improving maternal health in those communities around the globe.
What can you tell us about those inaugural grantees?
Yeah, so the initial grantees include the Urban Institute, Luwala Community Alliance in Kenya, Black Mamas Matter Alliance, and Project Echo. So these organizations have focuses on maternal health, AI, Medicaid, and more. And read the full story if you want sort of the full breakdown of what they're pursuing, but clearly all great causes that GE Healthcare has identified to start this initiative.
What are executives saying about the future of the foundation?
Danielle Hallstrom, president of GE Healthcare's foundation, said that the foundation was born out of the company's legacy of delivering access to care and a desire to advance health equity by reducing the limits and barriers faced by those in underserved communities. She said that they looked at where they could focus in the foundation's first programs. The lack of resources and care for moms and babies around the world clearly indicated where they should start. So she said that beginning the foundation's work, they look forward to continuing to expand that impact across other issue areas as an extension of its mission to strive for equitable healthcare access.
And what's the final news story that we have?
The former Stimwave CEO was convicted of healthcare fraud, according to the Department of Justice in the U.S. here. We've covered this case in the past, and we finally have a guilty verdict over what was that effectively boils down to a fake medical device component.
And what was the former CEO found guilty of?
Well, a jury found CEO Laura Perryman guilty on two counts of an indictment charging her with conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud and wire fraud and substantive healthcare fraud. So the jury convicted her of one count of healthcare fraud, which carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. And it also found her guilty of one count of conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud and wire fraud, which carries a maximum sentence of 20 years. So the actual sentencing remains to be determined by a judge.
How did this case unfold exactly?
Well, it's certainly a lot of detail to get into, and there's plenty of it listed in the story. But on the surface, basically, Stimwave declined to lower the costs of its devices in favor of, under Perryman's direction, creating a dummy component, a non-working component, that it could misrepresent as an alternative component for its device that could then be used for reimbursement claims. So as a result of these misrepresentations, the DOJ said that Perryman caused doctors and providers to purchase the product with this dummy device, implant the non-functioning component into patients, and submit reimbursement claims to healthcare insurance providers, including Medicare, effectively defrauding those insurers for a device that did not do anything.
What was Stimwave's mission before all of this unfolded?
Well, the company was founded over a decade ago, manufactured and distributed implantable neurostimulation devices designed to treat intractable chronic pain. The founding centered around the premise that the products would provide non-opioid alternatives to chronic pain management. So, yeah, as CEO and co-founder, Perryman oversaw the design of StimQ PNS, which was their neurostimulation system. The device treated chronic pain by producing electrical currents to target peripheral nerves outside the spinal cord.
And that was the final news story that we had for today. So thank you, Sean, for bringing us all the news.
My pleasure. As always, read more on the Mass Device website and check out the show notes at massdevice.com/podcast.
Connect with us online. I'm on LinkedIn at Danielle Kirsch, K-I-R-S-H. Where can they find you, Sean?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Sean, S-E-A-N, Wooley, W-H-O-O-L-E-Y.
Subscribe to the Mass Device Fast 5 wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode. Join us tomorrow for your daily MedTech News Roundup. Thank you for listening.